comments or statement of fact expressed by PIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by PIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Pirate Investigators Radio.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Already it's Monday and you know it's PIR Radio time. Everyone out there, thanks for tuning in live tonight on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. We also stream our... You can hear our simulcast, or we stream to the People's Paranormal Radio Network over there. So welcome aboard to those folks over there listening to the show live. We have a great show lined up, but as always, don't forget, check out our website. It's www.pirradio.com. You can sign on, and you know, we have a forum on there now that we just got, you know, the bugs kinked out of it, so we're going to get going on that. So if you want to post and talk with other people in the paranormal world, please do that. We'd also like to hear from all our podcast listeners out there. If you like the podcast, why don't you come join us live every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us at www.paranormalradioonline.com, or you can check us out at the PRR website, www.pirradio.com, and click the Pro tab. We would love for you guys to come check us out live. We have a great time. Sometimes we give away some free stuff, and sometimes, you know, Bill will crack a joke here and there. But as always, I have my co-host from It's Always Sunny in the north side of Philadelphia, Bill, with me.
North side's the worst side, I think.
Is it?
Well, kind of the bad section. Well, there's bad everywhere. Anyway, it's not sunny today. It was sunny. It got cloudy, and I hear there's rain coming. So we should call it It's Always Rainy in Philadelphia. But, Kurt, you know...
Lots of rain coming. You're gonna get submerged in water.
We already did last week. I mean, it was like a lot of water, inches and inches. Thank God it wasn't snow. Kurt, you know, what do I complain about my job the most with the paranormal group Tri-County?
That you guys aren't union?
Well, yeah, we can't be union. But outside of that, that I'm the worst case manager probably on the East Coast. And I still hold true. We had a case come in. I emailed them. They didn't email me back. But I didn't call them yet.
But how can you call yourself the worst case manager if you email them back and they don't reply? Maybe they're the worst people who want an investigation or something like that.
Because as soon as I send the email, I say, add this person to my spam list and delete it. No, just kidding.
Damn, you spam them right away. No wonder they're upset, because they probably get all that email with, you know, you know how you get with the pharmacy and Viagra this and Viagra that.
That's what I send first, and then see if they bite on that, and then if not, I say, hey, we're here to do your case. No, just kidding. Actually, we did have one case come in. I did email them. It didn't seem, you know, it didn't, you know, sometimes what they write to me always gives me the feeling that it's really not paranormal. On the sad note, Kurt, I can't get the PIR radio for my work because they blocked my server. So that means I can't do anything with the server or email from work. And also because Delco Ghost is on there. So that's a bummer, huh?
Those punks.
I know. And I told them, and you know what they said to me from IT? We're not blocking anything.
Yeah, right. They're blocking it.
Anyway.
Maybe you can get a proxy or something.
Yeah, you got to hook me up. I was trying to figure out how I can get to it from a different website, but I didn't know what to Google.
Have you tried like what is that thing where you can log into your computer at home?
Yeah, but it's too slow to like update pages and stuff. I'm trying to, because we're redesigning the Pro Paranormal Radio Network website.
What about Crossloop, connecting via Crossloop?
All right, if anyone has any knows any way to do this out there, can you email Mandy at PIR Radio and tell her how much you hate the show and also that I should use this?
Why don't you use like a VPN? Can you VPN to your server?
No, I can't even get to the IP number. They're blocking the IP number. So every time I try to do it, it just says can't open page. Yeah, because I tried to get right to the server. And
they're screwing with you, man. They're screwing with you big time.
And the bike ride, the naked bike ride's on there also. And I think that's probably might be some of it because it says naked. You know, so they might have hit some filter somewhere. But it just happened. So anyway. Anyway, so how was your week, Kurt? What's going on?
Nothing really. Nothing really happening. Daylight savings time.
You know, I'm real excited about our guest tonight. You know why?
Me too.
You know why?
Go ahead.
Because when we talked to him just a few minutes ago, he mentioned psychic fairs, and all you have to do is mention that you like psychics, and you got my vote.
There you go. Well, let's not waste any more time then. I mean, we're sitting here going back and forth, going, hi, hello, yes, yes, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Let's not waste any more time. What do you say?
Do it, Kurt.
Alrighty. We have a great guest lined up with us. Tonight, he comes from Northern Paranormal, and it's Jeff Kimball. So Jeff's on the line with us. How's it going, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Oh, it's going good. We're excited. I know we had you scheduled before, but you had an emergency case come up, which is quite understandable. Or I guess that's the word I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, we had a lot of times we get cases on a fly, and this one ended up, you know, like everybody else that, you know, that does paranormal research, they ended up getting in touch with us on the fly that was having issues with a child, so it just comes down to it. I never meant to deep on you, bud, but
no, we completely
sleep out on it, and we ended up going out that same night to take care of the case. So
we completely, and we completely understand, and we support what you do, especially when it comes to children. That's one thing that we completely support you for that, and we respect you for that, because you know being upfront and honest, that's what it's all about, you know.
Yep. No, it's we've been doing this for 12 years, and it gets better every year. Of course, we get busier every year, but we got to the point where we're getting, you know, two or three investigations a week, and we were trying to get enough members together so we could split off into two groups and start doing it that way. But, you know, I've run this group for so long, and I trust the people that are with me, and when you start getting too big, to me, I started losing track of what I was really doing it for, so I had to slow it down. So
Jeff, how many members do you have in your group currently?
Well, right now, I have seven. I have seven right now. I have a couple people that I work with, from their names are Chris Lovely and Haley. I call her Haley Haunted, but they're a couple of good people. They have a show called Chronicles of the Haunted that they're working on, and they do some investigating with me from time to time. We actually got together and started a new organization called Drain the Investigation, but they work with me too, so it's actually seven plus two halves. So
I noticed that your wife is also, is that your wife, I'm going to guess, not your sister, Lisa?
Yeah, my wife's involved with me too. Yeah, she's the co-founder of the group. Her name's Lisa.
Awesome. So you guys been together for about 12 years, you say?
Yes. Oh, my wife and myself? No, we're going, this is our 20th year anniversary this year.
I meant your group, but that's good that you guys were together for so long.
Congratulations on that, too, definitely.
Yeah, no, the group that I have right now has been together probably about a year. A couple of them a little bit longer, but the group I have right now is good. It's taken a while to get to the point where you can trust everybody that you're with, and you don't have to hesitate with anybody that you're working with. So, but yeah, we've gone through quite a few over the years. So,
what got you into the paranormal, and what made you want to form a group and start doing investigations?
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody is always saying, you know, they had this paranormal experience and all this. You know, I felt this way when I was a child, and in all honesty, I never felt any of that. I always had a, you know, I lived in the little town of Webster, New Hampshire, and we don't have much going on there. We have the cows, so I had to make friends with the cow. No, it wasn't like that at all. But no, I had to create my own world, and I ended up just, you have your own imaginary friends from time to time. They ended up working out pretty well with me, and as you get older, they start to become something that you're adapted to, and I ended up becoming more adapted to them by, you know, more or less feeling what was going on around me. I mean, I never really had some particular instance that happened to me. I just had the things that I thought were my imaginary friends were actually coming to find out that they were, you know, spirits or entities, whichever you want to call them, that were around me, and I was actually talking with them and communicating with them. So, but there was nothing that was in depth in particular with it. It just started to interest me that, you know, it's been with me for years.
Hey, Jeff, do you have a handset you could pick up and not use the speakerphone, maybe? Getting a lot of windy sound.
Like that?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
It's like night and day. It sounded like a wind tunnel we were in.
Oh, it sounded the same way here.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were haunted there.
Yeah, well, I probably am. After this many years of doing this, it wouldn't surprise me.
So you're gonna tell me that you're psychic, or you have some intuitive senses?
Well, see, that's funny because I have, three or four psychic friends, and, they keep saying that I've got something like, but that I don't label myself as that. I don't, you know, I've been told I'm a sensitive, and I don't label myself as any of that. I mean, I just feel different things. You know, where you go into a home, you can sense different energies, and sometimes you can feel them strong enough that you can actually see them. You know, I don't work a lot with it. I work more on the technical side of it, just because of the fact that that's how I've been doing it for years. And, I do like to debunk some of the things, definitely. But, you know, you can't debunk everything. You know, we've done so many investigations that there's something pretty much at least 75% of the places we've been. I mean, energy, the past is all around us. I mean, energy is everywhere. So how can you deny it not being there?
Now with your group, I know Bill mentioned, you know, the psychic side, and you're talking the technical side. How would you classify your group? Would you be a scientific based, spiritual based, both?
Well, see, we're both because, in my honest opinion, and everything, like I said, is my opinion. It's not how it is right or it's wrong. There's so many things out there that you're dealing with. When you're dealing with other people in their, you know, spiritual realm, you got to think about everything is actually religious based with that. Just because you don't want to go into someone's house with a belief of just a simple entity or something, and these people think everything's demonic in their house. You know, like with the Catholics, you don't go into a Catholic's house with a shaman. You know, saying we're going to cleanse your house with a shaman, vice versa. I mean, it's we deal a lot with the religious base on it too, because we want to be there for how they're reacting to what's going on around them. So, I mean, we work with that just as much as all the equipment we have. You know, we have $20,000-$30,000 worth of equipment, like everybody else does that's out there that's been doing this for years. And you know, we update all the time. I mean, I have stuff coming in the mail once a month, pretty much. You know, it's one of those things that you want to stay on top of that stuff. But it's both. You know, I don't stick to just one side of it. I mean, it's spiritual and technical. I mean, they interact with each other, in my opinion.
Now with the spiritual side, you know, especially when you're using, this is Bill's neck of the wood. He's more in with the psychic part of the, dealing with psychics and investigations. But how do you know? How can you tell yourself personally when you know that you have a psychic that you can trust?
How do I know that when I felt something like that?
Well, how do you know that you can trust a psychic when you bring them on an investigation? How do you know if they're
Oh wow, that's pretty easy. And I've worked with quite a few over the years that have got me to understand. And I've actually got to the point where you can ask certain questions to them. And as long as you're not, you know, it's just like tarot reading cards. They're going to ask, if a psychic is asking questions for you or asking, because you want to get a reading before they start to do anything in the house. You want to get a reading from each one of your members or something to that point. If you start getting them asking you, so is that right? Or, you know, are you feeling this? Or does that make sense to you? And as soon as you answer them yes or no or something of that nature, you're giving into what they're looking for. Not that I don't believe in psychics, because I do very much, and I do believe in psychic energy. But you can pretty much tell by what you answer to them and the answers that they come up with. I've dealt with a couple that are pretty interesting. When they start asking you questions and you say, well, I don't know, is it true? I don't know, is that the way it is showing up? Or, you know, just different things. And there are some that will sit there and say, no, that's right. Even though if you say you're not right, oh, no, it is. So it's, I don't know.
Jeff, one of the things that we do is try, you know, we have to ask some details from as case manager and to try to filter out the crazies, because we do get a fair share of crazies. So.
Yep.
The one thing we try to do is not get too much information. I mean, we walk into somebody's house. You generally don't know the layout and the bedrooms and all this other stuff. And basically, we ask for the psychics to roam free if wherever they
can. Okay, you're talking about bringing them in on the case.
Right.
I thought you were talking about when you get together with a new one, so how do you know if they're going to be honest with you?
Yeah, well, that's hard. It's definitely a feel thing. I mean, you have to feel them out, and it's just like a relationship. I mean,
yep.
Trust and bond, and then when they screw you, then you say, you know. I mean, that's no different than the psychic than to an investigator, too, because they talk a lot of mess, too.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. No, and with that, I do agree, because the way we do it is we send the psychic in first.
Right.
I usually go in with them, and because I have all the information, I get the emails, because I'm the founder, I get the emails, and I get the phone calls and all that, and then I do a preliminary investigation with them on the phone. I mean, because we do all over New England. I mean, we've been to New York, we've been to Pennsylvania, we've been to Rhode Island, we've been to all those places. And the way we do it is just like you're talking. They go in to get a sense. I know what they've been claiming, and I know what they've been saying. So they don't know anything. Well, the way I run my group is I get the phone call, I do the preliminary investigation, and I get the group together. And I sit there and tell them, okay, we've got an investigation going on in Chester, Vermont. There's a woman who's having some issues there. Who's available for that investigation? We're going to be doing it next Saturday night. Who's available for it? That's it. They don't know what's going on at that house. Because as soon as you put something in their head, as soon as you sit there and tell them, well, she's been getting sounds a lot from the back bedroom, you know, there's a little girl that's been seen in the living room quite a bit. Guess where they're focusing? They're focusing on those areas. As soon as they start focusing on those areas, they're losing all concept of everything else in the house.
Oh, I agree. And that's what we do. We try not to give them any information. Like, we went to this Air Force base in Dover, Delaware, and then there's kids involved, so, you know, we told them that there's kids and this and that and the other thing, but nothing about the details of, you know, anything that I knew, I wouldn't tell them specifics, you know.
Right.
And it helps. It helps them to be your radar, and unlike the Ghost Hunters and these other shows where they run around asking for all the details, you know, we come in, try to introduce ourselves, try to be friendly and make some kind of bond so they can trust us a little bit, because that's the other thing new groups don't do is I don't think they understand you can't just run into somebody's house and start setting up cameras and run amok. You have to kind of like bomb.
Yeah, you have to be their friend first. You have to, and that's one of the reasons why I like doing preliminary investigations. I get to talk to them on the phone. I have a list of questions that I go over, and then when we see them, we sit down at their table and go over some more, and then, you know, show us the hot spots. Nobody in the group knows what's going on, and it's so much better that way, because one, it makes if we have somebody in our group that, you know, thinks they may be sensing something or feeling something, and they say, "Wow, I swear to God, I just felt the presence of a little girl over here in the corner," and come to find out that's where they keep saying there's a little girl over in the corner, but they didn't know that.
Right.
It gives them more, you know, justification to themselves and makes them feel a little bit better about it, and it makes them struggle a little harder too, I think.
Yeah, no, and it's more compelling and makes them believe in what you're doing to be factual. I want to ask if you guys actually do more private homes or
more residential than commercial. Yeah.
And what's your feeling about the I mean, you said you've been in this 12 years, so you know that 12 years ago you were probably frowned upon. But now, you know, you're
12 years ago in New Hampshire, there were 3 groups, and I was one of them. Now, if you go to New Hampshire, I think there's like 32 groups, and I'm like, I didn't even realize New Hampshire was that big to have that many people in it. So it's unbelievable, you know, and we've been, don't know. We've been accepted a lot more. I mean, we're pretty well known throughout New England, I'd say. You know, we get a lot of calls from Vermont, a lot from New Hampshire, some from the lower parts of Maine, and quite a bit from Massachusetts. So we're pretty much localized around that area. Though we have gone out, you know, out further than that, like I said before. But yeah, it's there's a lot of groups out there, and the worst part of it is I don't disdain on anybody for wanting to get into the paranormal field. I mean, I've done some parapsychology studies. I've done work with orb technology and EMF technology with the Miller-Gauss and Tesla work. Even more so now, I'm working with the spiritual aspect of it on trying to get more information about each type of religion, so when you're getting involved in it, you know more about what you're dealing with the people that you're working with. So, but a lot of other people are just grabbing a tape recorder and the camera and saying, okay, let's go, I'm a ghost hunter. And it hurts us, you know, as paranormal investigators, because we're out there to, we do paranormal investigating. Paranormal just means the unexplained. So it doesn't mean I'm out looking for a ghost. It doesn't mean I'm out looking for a spirit. It means I'm out investigating what these sounds or voices are that these people are hearing.
You know, I got a funny story about religion. We were in these people's, this house, in another house in Delaware, and they felt that there was something demonic, but the psychics actually felt that it was like mojo, what do you call that down south?
Voodoo?
Like a voodoo, yeah, and they knew somebody was lying, and they felt that it was the daughter. Interestingly enough, Mark, who's the sort of like demonic, wow, thank God that noise went away, that demonic the guy, yeah, of sorts, you know, because he had something happen to him, so that's his thing. So he asked these people, we're all sitting there, and he says, how come you don't have a crucifix hanging up? And we all kind of like our jaws dropped. And then Mikey, the other psychic, said, you know, he said something, I forget, like, oh, maybe, you know, they don't have to be religious or, you know, something or another, you know, trying to change the subject real fast, because it was very, very, very awkward. And I don't know if...
they don't have to be religious if they think it's demonic?
Well, no, but he said, why don't you have any crucifix? And he thought that was weird. And
yeah.
It's not weird, you know?
No. Well, I mean, if you think about it, Catholics, Christians, and Protestants are all pretty much the same. They're just different levels. You know, Catholics believe very, very strongly about the faith of God being there, being to church whenever they're supposed to. Christians are so, but not as, you know, they don't go to services all the time, other than, you know, their holidays as well as their Sundays. And then, you know, Protestants are pretty much, their belief in God is the same. They don't preach it as much, and they pretty much attend the services, you know, once a month or their holidays. My parents are Protestant, and that's, you know, that's their religion. That's what, I mean, they're all religions, and I don't mean to stomp on anybody's parade or anything, but in my opinion, they're all pretty much based on a belief of a higher power.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why does
Absolutely.
It have to be... a god is a higher power, or, you know, it could, in Native American, it's, you know, Mother Earth and Father Spirit. So it's all a greater power, just, you know, different areas, different ideas.
Hey, I knew some good Catholics, you know. It was Easter and Christmas Day, Midnight Mass, you know.
Yep.
So that's as strong as your belief needs to be, then that's, you know, so be it, you know.
Yeah, well, I was brought up Protestant, and I'm, you know, half Native American, so, you know, I've followed, you know, a lot of my Native American past, because my grandfather was a Cherokee Indian, 100% Cherokee Indian. He lived on the reservation until he was 16 years old, and his parents kicked him into the American schools because they saw how Americanized everything was, and they made him go to Americanized schools, and he graduated from there and served the rest of his life in the Coast Guard, because that's the only place that accepted him, so... But yeah, I mean, I always have thought paranormal work to be some sort of religious base. I mean, I'm not a high believer in any certain religion. I focus on all of them because of the work that I do. But
Yeah, I believe that to be true too, because you have to have some spiritual sense and believe that there's something beyond just the what you see.
Right.
I mean, and I think to be a good paranormal investigator, you have to. I mean, you can't say that it's not spiritual if you're saying, "Oh, there's a ghost." I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was just going to say that next. Yeah, I mean, how can you, even the atheists? You know, I've worked with a couple of atheists. In fact, wow, I have one in my house. You know, I'm pretty much the same. It's just the purpose of belief and believing in what you're seeing. You know, you want something to back it, and even atheism, they're doing paranormal work just as much, and as soon as they see something or see a spirit or hear something talking on an EVP, how can you say that that's not something, you know? Everybody, it doesn't matter who they are, they're going to believe one way or the other eventually. You know, even the skeptics. I've gone into many, many houses. 78% of all the houses I've done, and I know this because I use a graph chart, because I'm an idiot that way, but 78% of all the people that we get that contact us are females.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. Because of the fact that, one, they seem to be more sensitive to the spiritual world. I don't know what it is. Even psychics have told me this many times before. They're more sensitive to it. Men are more easily pushed away by, oh, that's just the knocking. Oh, that's just the pipes. Or, oh, that's
just... And men are just... They're just hard asses like Kurt, you know. They don't want to let me...
Right. You know, that's exactly right. That's why Kurt's so quiet, because he's sitting there saying, oh, this is all bull.
No.
Say everything that comes out of my mouth. No, I'm just kidding.
But I do have a question, though. Now, you mentioned the Native American. Do you think people, you know, investigators that have more of the Native American background, you know, the lineage, do you think they're more in tune to... And could be a better investigator than someone that doesn't have the Native American?
No, I don't. You can be a great investigator and never have done it before. And I can explain that easily enough. We have a woman, her name is Debbie. And we have another woman whose name is Amanda. After the first trial investigation they did with us, they were acting and doing more paranormal work with the equipment. They learned the equipment. They were doing great EV, because we do courses and classes just like, you know, all the other paranormal groups that have been doing it for a while. And, you know, it was like they were taking control of a class or something, and they're great. They were unbelievable with the way they were debunking things and asking questions and, you know, doing EVP work. You know, I was amazed. And, you know, Debbie's only been on probably 5 investigations with us. And I would almost consider her a veteran at it because she does so well with it. My wife is the one that usually trains them, and when she's done training them after 3 or 4 investigations, I start working with them to see how, you know, see where they are and see what I'd like to tweak on them, you know, and work with them with. Same with Amanda. Amanda's very good at it. She's been on a few investigations with us, more investigations with us as well, but they're great. They're amazing at it, you know, and they're everything I'd look for, you know, and I wouldn't change them for the world. You know, we have another girl, her name is Iris. She's still working at it, but let me tell you something. She's probably the best historian in the 12 years I've been doing this. I mean, she used to work for the New Hampshire Historical Society, and this woman can put together a history of a house. She goes
awesome.
And digs in places I've never seen before. you know, it's just on how interested you are, how deep you want to get into it, mm-hmm. and where you're looking to go with it. You know,
I just
don't think that, you know, people who are studying spirituality, you know, you know, Native American, I mean, because I'm Cherokee, you know, I follow my Native American ways. I mean, I can cleanse a home but not bless a home, you know, and it's, I've had acceptance from the Cherokee tribe that I was originated from in, you know, in Arizona to be able to do something like that. I don't do it much because I don't feel that I'm qualified to, but it's one of those things that it's a spiritual connection in your mind. You know, you got to be the one that's going to have the belief in it. But I don't think that has anything to do with it, really.
Okay, but I'm with you on that. Can you hold on for a second? We're going to take our really quick break here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're halfway through the show, so folks, tonight we're listening to PIR Radio on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. Our guest is Jeffrey Kimball. He's from the Northern Paranormal. And if you can, check out his website, www.northernparanormal.org. Check it out. He's got some great pictures on there and, all kinds of information on there. So take a peek at there and see, learn a little bit more about our guest tonight, even though you're listening to the podcast. So hang on, and we'll be right back after these messages.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
Show host, your podcast not getting enough hits, and you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online, helping to bring you the best paranormal experience. Check out Pro today by going to ParanormalRadioOnline.com for showtimes and a chat area to chat with other paranormal listeners. While there, check out the Encore shows where you can listen to many different shows and hosts and their podcasts that you may have missed during the week. Check out live shows and special broadcast shows that are live on location with special events. All of this and so much more can be found on ParanormalRadioOnline.com. It's about the paranormal, and it's all here for you. Once again, Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online. Check them out today. And as always, thanks for listening to the Haunted Voices Radio Network.
This is Lex Wall of the Anything Goes Show, and this story was sent in by Cynthia in Texas. My ex-husband lived in a house that, according to his mother, had paranormal activity in it. She was told that when she was a young girl in Mexico, that she is open to spirits and that they are attracted to her. Consequently, everywhere she's lived, there was some sort of activity. I never saw anything in the house. My experiences were always feeling footsteps in the house. First, my ex and I were in his brother's room, going through his music selection. My ex got up to leave the room to get something from the kitchen. At this time, I was not aware of anything they felt or saw in the house. I had my back to the bedroom door, sitting on the floor. I felt footsteps, like my ex was walking back into the room. But it felt like tiptoeing, because the walking was slow and light. Thinking it was my ex sneaking up on me, I spoke out loud, "Don't even try it," when the walking stopped. I turned around, and of course, no one was there. My ex walked back into the room and asked who I was talking to. I was speechless. That's when he told me about the strange things that always happened in that house. And it was not surprising to him to hear my tale. Another time, we were sitting outside on the front porch, again on the floor, and I got the feeling of footsteps in the living room, like people were running back and forth from the living room to the bedrooms. Every time I would turn around expecting someone to be there right behind me, and every time, no one was there. The family would experience shadows, reflections in the mirrors, shaking doors and beds, blankets being pulled off sleeping people. Scary stuff to me, but they took it in stride. When eventually they moved to another house, my daughter would spend the night. And when she was about 4 or 5, she would come home and tell me about a young girl who would watch her sleep. She described the girl as being about 10 years old, skinny, with long brown hair in 2 braids. There was a great deal of detail to her description, but now, when asked about it, she doesn't remember any of it.
And that's it for this week's story. And now back to Kurt and Bill.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on BIR Radio.
All right, hopefully you like that encore of Lex's story from last week. Have to stay tuned every Monday night. We have a story from Lex Wall from Anything Ghost, www.anythingghost.com. Check out his website, too. He has an amazing podcast. It's awesome. And some of the stories that you hear are all from listeners that he gets from all over the world. So check it out. And hopefully you enjoy his show. And hopefully you enjoy PIR Radio. And, we'll give you your paranormal radio experience for the week. But we have our guest on the line with us, Jeff Kimball from Northern Paranormal, and I have my co-host with me back, Bill, trying to resolve the wind tunnel issue. So I'm sure it'll come back, though. It's all good. It's Skype. It's Skype being a bugger, but you know what? All's well. We'll just tough it out, right, Bill?
That's right. Move forward.
We're gonna move forward. I know. In the first part of the show, we were talking. We got a brief introduction of Jeff and his group, and we were talking about psychics, and we got into some of the religion, but we're gonna head towards the tech side of his group, and just find out, talk with him about technical, scientific, stuff. So now, Jeff, you had mentioned that you have quite a bit of a nice arsenal of equipment. What type of equipment do you use on your investigations?
Well, most of it's the same things that everybody else has been getting. We have the EMF detectors that we use. We work with IR cameras and DVR equipment. We have some cameras that we have 64 IR cameras. We have some that are 32 IR, and all of the IR stands for is infrared. It just gives you a stronger distance of vision at night. We have SVB cameras that can see into the darkness with UV lighting. We also work with IR lighting, UV being ultraviolet, and we also have full spectrum lighting. We have everything. It's a vast variety of stuff, because I don't like sticking with one. I mean, even our EVP recorders, we have some that are analog, actually tape. We work with those from time to time, because you want to try and get an aspect from everything. It's one of those things that the more more is better, I guess. I mean, it gives you a better breakdown of what you're seeing. You get a different vision, a different sound, and it's better to have what you can get. The more you can get, the better off you are to experience it in a scientific, in technical manner.
Now, do you use any? Build any? New stuff, new equipment on your own, or have you tried any experimental equipment at all?
I don't build anything. I don't have a technical staff enough to do that. I mean, I deal a lot with Sean. He's a friend of mine from Ghost Stop. That's a website that you can get paranormal equipment from, and I talk with him, and he actually builds stuff at their location. They actually just opened up a new location in Florida, but they build stuff at their location to fit the needs. And they come out with new stuff all the time. And if there's ideas or thoughts that you have about it, you can talk with him, and they can look into it and make different things. So, but I don't build my own stuff. I definitely keep up on it through the different paranormal shops and different online stores and different other groups that I network with. I mean, I network with probably over 300 different paranormal groups out there. When new things come out that I see something that I haven't seen before, I'll definitely start IMing and working with them to see where they've got it from and what it does. So,
well, Jeff, we'd love to have your friend from Florida that's making stuff send us some stuff to give away and test, and we're always looking for a freebie to give out and something new and inventive. So if you want to clue them into us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely. I'm actually noting it down right now, just so I could do something like that. He works with me, because when we do the events, I mentioned we do a group. It's called Join the Investigation. It's we have a website at jointheinvestigation.net, and what that is that we invite people to do paranormal investigations with us. We set it up at, we have one coming up in April at the Three Chimneys Inn in Durham, New Hampshire. It's a haunted location. It's one of the top 10 haunted locations in New England. And we set up an event there where we sell tickets and people can come in and they get a buffet meal. They get to do it. They get a 2-hour seminar and class type situation that we do where we teach about all the equipment that we have and, you know, just a simple paranormal 101. And then they get an hour of history and then they get to do 4+ hours worth of investigating. We have different locations set up throughout the property, the hotel itself, and, you know, they get to investigate with each different type of equipment, you know, for 45 minutes to an hour.
Wait a minute. Jeff, you only feed these people once? Sounds like a long-ass night.
It's a buffet, Bill. Did you hear? All you can eat? Yeah.
But you gotta taste it for buffets.
My stomach, whenever I see a buffet or go by it, it just goes... Stop, eat.
Yeah, well, that's the worst. That's the thing. You've got to make the food good for them to want to come, so.
Jeff, that's it. We're going to do a road trip up to you.
I'm good with that.
That buffet.
You know what? You come up and I'll pay for your hotel room.
Awesome. Kurt, you break the news to your wife. Tell her we're taking a bus.
Okay, I'll get the bus.
All right.
But that's where we sell a bunch of, I'll get a bunch of equipment from Sean from Ghost Bob. He gives me great deals on this stuff, and then I'll bring them to the events and, you know, like the laser grid pens or some EMF detectors or some EVP equipment, we'll sell them at the event. You know, people get to see how they operate, and they get excited about it, and they get to purchase something at the end of the event if they're interested, so...
It sounds. Have you done any of these yet? Have you done?
Actually, no, we haven't. This is actually our first one that's coming up in April. The girl Haley Hunter that works with us, she's one of our partners. She's done a lot of stuff for TAPS. She doesn't work with TAPS anymore, but she's done a lot of events for them. Chris Loveday has done a lot of stuff with them as well. I've done courses and classes galore, so I've been doing those for years, and we've run different courses, and we've actually have four other sister groups that we've taken under our wing that we've sent them to a 5-day course on paranormal and, you know, taught them how to, not necessarily the proper way, but the way that we do things. And get them out so they can start doing their own paranormal investigating. You know, we try and take them under our wing to help them out. So, I mean, each one of us has got our own experience with how to set up events and stuff, but this is actually the first one. We just started doing this. I've spent countless amounts of money on equipment and traveling, and I've spent over $100,000+ since I started doing this in just traveling, equipment, lodging, gas money. It's time to start, trying to see if there's some way that we can make it back. Because donations, they're limited. We don't ask to do investigations. We don't ask money for it. We try and get donations if anybody can. And, we do courses and stuff, and we get donations that way. But everything is done free of charge. We just ask, if anybody wants to donate, then we do that. But for the most part, everything's come out of my wife's and my pocket. So... this way, we're doing events. It's a great time because we get to teach like we like to do. We get to do investigations like we like to do. And people get to join us and see how it's done. And we get a little bit of money to pay for the travel and expenses.
Well, that's commendable.
Very commendable. And one thing real quick, sir, Bill, and I'll let you go, is, at PR Radio, we like to support all our guests and all that. So, if you have this event in April, if you get me a audio commercial for your event, we'll be more than happy to play it on PIR Radio for you leading up to the event.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great if I could do that. That's great. Yeah, because we do, the thing is, too, is we have connections throughout New England, and we've got four other hotels already lined up to do these, in different states. And the big thing is it's not just in New Hampshire. We've got one that we can do in Vermont. We've actually got a couple we're going to be doing in California. I mean, it's all over the U.S. It's not just one area. So, I mean, it's great time. I this is going to be a really good one. We've already been there to review the place, and while we were there, we had some really, really interesting things going on while we were there. So it's going to be a great one, I believe.
Yeah, you should let people know where they can sign up for this, and also... If you can mention the name, I don't know if you can mention the name of the place or if you want to.
Yeah, no, the name of the place that we're doing is called the Three Chimneys Inn And you can see, go to their website, which is 3chimneysinn.com, I'm sure. You can go there and, you know, check out the place. The rooms are unbelievable. We've actually eaten there, so that's good too. If anybody was interested in looking into it, they can go to our website, which is jointheinvestigation.net, and that has all the information about it. We have a couple of upcoming events that we're going to be doing as well, and they can get see all the information and see all there is to know about us and where they can get tickets for it.
It sounds very interesting, and we'd love to promote it for you. So get us an audio clip, and we'll play it on PIR radio for you.
No, I'd be very willing to do something like that.
Now, excuse me. You know, I know we're talking about, you know, events and all that. I want to move a little bit more on to. I know you're from up in New England, and I don't know much history about New Hampshire, but maybe you can help us with. Some of us, you know, that are listening to the show live and to the podcast, but what haunted locations or what, you know, very active sites are there up in New Hampshire that people can, you know, look, you know, and say, hey, you know, maybe they want to go for an investigation there? I mean, I'm talking like on the historical side.
One is definitely the Three Chimneys Inn. I mean, that's, like I said, it's one of the 10 most haunted places in New England. It's, you know, an unbelievable place to go. They have one of the things that goes on up there is a history of dealing with a little girl named Hannah, and they can, you know, I can't give all the information on about that, I mean, because I'm not 100% sure of all of the information about that, but they can read about it on their on Three Chimneys Inn website. I know a lot of people don't do much about graveyards. We actually have quite a few up here that have had some history to them. One of them was up here down in Nashua called Blood Cemetery. We actually did some investigating for Nashua down there. It's really hard to get in there after dark because the town occupies that place. The police go by it like crazy, so you have to really be able to get into the town and talk to the town to do it. But finding this with one of our psychics has always laughed at us and said, you know, he doesn't believe that spirits are in the graveyards. So he just didn't see. If somebody passes, and I believe in his theory as well, but if somebody passes, the last place they're going to want to be is hanging out in a graveyard. Well, there goes the information with this. You know, if somebody passes away and they go to the graveyard, where's the family member visit? They go to the graveyard to visit, so why not have the spirit in the cemetery so that their family can come and visit and speak with them there? So,
you know, Jeff, I got an interesting rebuttal of sorts to that, and this is the theory that was taught to me by the great Laurie. When you bury somebody in the ground, that day they put their soil or the flower, whatever they do, and all that energy is focused on that grave, and that spirit's laid to rest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when something happens there, theft or, you know, they disturb the grave or whatever might happen, all this energy is released, meaning they break that shell, sort of, you know, that protective energy shell, and that's why cemeteries are supposedly haunted, I think, because whatever tragedy happens to break that energy makes the spirit upset, because all this energy is released that these people focused on that grave that day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in theory, when I thought about it at all, I sat there and said to myself, you know, when somebody passes away, their body's a shell. I mean, you think, we're energy and water. So, you know, when their body passes away and their spirit's left, I don't know. I've never been to the light of stuff, so I don't know.
So,
I don't know where they're, but I think that their spirit is released when they're gone. And it all depends on their death, on how it's released. I mean, if somebody dies a tragic death, which is, you know, where we start getting to residual haunts, when somebody dies a tragic death, they don't know that they've passed on. They're just repeating themselves in the world that they're used to being in. That's why a lot of people in homes have residual haunts, in my opinion. It's,
right.
You know, like everybody else's, more or less most people's beliefs. I mean, when you're getting an intelligent haunt, it's somebody that those they passed on, or they're malicious and they don't want to pass on, or they're there looking after their loved ones and they're trying to communicate with them.
Yeah, or they have something they want to convey. I mean,
right.
So I get crawling in this little tunnel in this attic and saying there's something down there, and the guy's like, hey, this was all renovated and ripped out. He said, there's nothing down there. And she's, whatever that ghost wanted to show her, of course, was not there. And this 65-year-old woman's crawling in this crawl space, you know, that she could barely fit. And it, you know, she was so convinced that there was something, some light at the end of the tunnel, some object, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what happens, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I think that's one of the things that is that people are so intrigued on trying to discover why. Why are they there? Why are they still here? You know, and that's where, you know, people have come into the theory of when they start talking about it working with EVPs and, you know, trying to get into understanding what they have to say and that what is their story? What are they trying to get? You know, because they've seen apparitions, because they've heard voices on, you know, audio recorders or spirit boxes, or, you know, it's because they've been hearing about it for so much, it gets people more intrigued, which is why I think, you know, it's such in a high demand now. You know, I mean, like you said, 10 years ago, we were in the back of the garage doing this, you know, kind of like somebody smoking pot when nobody would know about it, trying to hide it from everybody, and here we are now. We're smoking pot out in the public, you know. We're doing all this paranormal stuff, and everybody's interested in it. But, you know, that's where we get back onto the technical side. You know, the technical side of things has come so far that, I mean, you think about the spirit box. Now it's, you know, it's something you can talk to and, you know, hear a response back within, you know, within 5 seconds, you know, and if you hear it, you can continue communicating with it. I mean, I think it's been one of the best things that we've got in a long time, because you can communicate with them and get them to get to see whether it's intelligent haunt by the communication they get back to you.
Hey, you know, I do want to ask you, Jeff, because I know we're going to run out of time in about 10 minutes or so. If you have any notable or paranormal experience that you'd like to discuss, and, you know, I mean, because I think that's my favorite part of the show, to hear your, you know, things that might have happened.
Well, we did a house in Holderness. I've never had an experience where I've been scared out of my boots and run out of the house. But, you know, I've been startled a few times. And one of the deals is we were in a house in Holderness, New Hampshire. And when we get a call from this person, said there's something sadistic going on. They didn't know what it was, but their doors were slamming. They kept hearing people talking. Things were getting moved about the house. You know, things of that nature. And even just talking to them on the phone, like I said, I'm not a psychic. I'm not a, sensitive of any kind. I don't have that title because I don't know how to get that title. I don't really care about the title. I just know what I feel. And just by talking to this gentleman on the phone, which was one of the only times I ever really talked to a gentleman, because it's usually a female, but he was just relaying so much negativity coming from that house, you didn't want to feel it through the phone. It was interesting. So I told him, I said, absolutely. So we went up, and as soon as we drove in the yard, at that time I had an actual shaman working for me. He was 100% Native American. He was Apache. And he and I, we drove into the yard, and we all got out, and as soon as we got out of that vehicle, the both of us just, we looked at each other like, oh, my God. Could not believe how much energy we were getting from it. It was just like we felt like we were being watched in like 15 different windows. The house was 3,000 square feet. They had about a 4,000 square foot barn, and we just felt like we were being watched from everything. Now, normally, if we do something in New Hampshire, it's a quick in, quick out for a preliminary investigation. We were at this house for almost 3 hours doing a preliminary investigation, because every time we went to just take a picture to put a piece of equipment there, we were hearing somebody talk to us. The door would slam in our face. And the weirdest thing we ever got, which I still wish we had the pictures of, is we ended up getting a picture down a hallway. It was a picture of a silhouette. And laugh at me if you want, it had horns on it. It actually had horns, H-O-R-N-S, yes. Now, you know, like I said, skeptics laugh at me. I don't care, really. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a Marine. I've got broad shoulders. But it's okay. We get a picture of it. And that night, we brought all the information home. We never saw that picture because none of it, it was on the digital camera. I didn't bring it up on my equipment or anything else yet. So we were home that night. The next day, he calls me up, the homeowner, and says, "You're not going to believe this. There's a little child that we have, a friend of ours, that runs up and down to the house. And they're running up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs. And he was upstairs for a couple minutes, didn't hear from him. Next thing you know, he comes running downstairs screaming his bloody head off, saying, 'The man with the horns is going to get me.'" Well, we hadn't even seen our information that we had got yet, anything on the investigative side at all. We hadn't even looked at it yet. And this kid was saying that. And I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's amazing." So I ended up getting our stuff out and started to look at it that night. Well, later on that night, he called again, and it said the same exact thing. It happened to his sister's daughter. They were there playing, they were having a card game, whatever it was, and the little girl was upstairs, and she came running downstairs saying, "The mean man wants to get me, mean man wants to get me." And then they asked her to describe it, and she describes it the same way. It says, "The man with the horns, mummy, the man with the horns." So when we were all said and done, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning that day, finding out all my information, and by the time we were all said and done, we got a picture of a silhouette in that far end room that they were saying they saw of a man who had horns on his head.
Wow.
And I actually emailed the picture to Jason and Grant from TAPS, not that that really meant anything, but I did it anyway, and I got a message back from the Grant was really interested, wanted some more pictures from the place, and because back then when this happened, you know, I could talk to Jason and Grant without going through a publicist or a licensed secretary or whatever it was. You could talk to them directly, but that was probably one of the most bizarre things that I ever had happen. As far as doing an investigation, just seeing that after these two children were seeing that, and come to find out there was a lot of Ouija board and witchcraft practice that was going on in that back room.
Well, the Ouija board doesn't scare me as much as it used to after learning more about it. I guess in the sense that it's a tool, and if you use the tool correctly, it's no different than using an EMF meter or a tape recorder, but
It
has to be respected and has to be, you can't just do it and leave it open and, you know, you have to know what the safe boundaries are, you know.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this real quick. What do you think of table tipping?
I tried to get some psychics to show me that, and we never got to that point and set it up, but I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see it happen. I mean, I really would.
I've been through a couple of sessions of it. And I don't hold much to it. I mean, Ouija boards I know quite a bit about, and I've seen them used, and I've actually used them in the far, far past. So I know what they're about, and I know how they can be operated, how they should be operated. You know, and like you say, they just have to be respected.
Yeah.
They're a tool like anything else. But table tipping is just, I don't know. I don't hold much tolerance to it. Does it mean it doesn't work right, but because I'm not going to say that, you know, with other people out there who probably do it, but it's not something that I've seen that holds much credibility yet.
And well, have you experienced it? Have you sat in on a table?
Yeah, that's why. I actually videotaped it. The first time they did it, they came to my house because we have a couple of spirits. I live in an 1856 house, and we have a couple of spirits that roam in our house. So we had them do it at our house, and they were doing it here. And, you know, I videotaped the whole thing. And I saw at that particular time, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. The second time it was done, it wasn't, you know, as bad because it was different people and they seemed more legit on how they were doing it and how they were operating it and things of that nature. But
Jeff, let's back up a second because I want to make sure I have it right and I'm sure the other people want to see if they have it right.
Yep.
I mean, you sit around the table, you put your hands on the table, and the table moves. Is that?
Yep.
And
yep, it's like a candlestick table, more or less.
Okay, so yeah, they bring the table with them?
Yep.
Huh. I mean, I don't know why you can't just pick up a card table and sit around it.
It's because the way the tables that are used in table tipping, to my knowledge, they're like a round table and they have to be on a pedestal. They don't have, they're not really set up with four legs on them like a card table.
Oh.
And the table leans one way or the other to their answering their questions or to who they're answering them to.
So it always leans towards the people that brought the table?
Yeah. No. It leans, like, if there's four of us sitting around and you were asking a question and it was saying, you asking a presence of a spirit being there, who's the spirit here for? And if it was for you, the table would lean to you.
But, all right, so you know. Has it ever leaned to you?
No.
Okay. Well,
no.
So you would know then if you pushed, but and if people have their hands on top of the table, they could.
Right.
But I guess they could use a knee or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem. That's one of the reasons why I had it videotaped. The first time I videotaped it, it was so. That's why I had said it. So you could see the whites of their fingers when the table was moving around. You know, you're barely supposed to be touching the table. You're
right.
Supposed to be just dragging it across, almost so the heat of your fingers is on it. But you know, when you're seeing the whites of your fingers by pressing on the table, it's kind of I don't know. But like I said, it may not be that way. Somebody else out there may be able to do it, and I just haven't seen it yet, but that's...
Justin from the chat room wants to know if if it has a tablecloth or no tablecloth.
No, there's no tablecloth. It's flat table surface. It's a wooden table with a pedestal on it. This is just what I've seen. I've only seen it three or four different times, and but that's from my knowledge. It's a pedestal. It's a round table. It's got one pedestal down the middle of it. You know, and it'll have a couple of little legs that branch off the bottom, but it's not set up like a card table, so it's got four legs on each corner.
If it had a tablecloth, it would make it more suspicious to me, but, you know.
Well, if it had a tablecloth and they were pushing on it, it'd probably slide the tablecloth, though.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Pick with their own disguise.
Yeah, it's hidden under the cloth.
Hey, Jeff, you know,
yep.
Our hour has come and gone. And Kurt wants to say something.
And it always comes and goes quick when you're having fun, you know?
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, we'd definitely love to have you back on, especially, you know, we'd like to get the update on how your first event went and, you know, chat with you on how that went and how the investigation went for all the people that showed up for the investigation.
Yep. No, that'd be great. I'd definitely keep in touch with you to do so.
And don't forget, if you get that, audio ad, we'll play it for you on PIR Radio. We'd love to play that for you. It'll be quite a few times before April, so, you know, get it to us quickly and we'll play it for you. We'd love to support you guys 100%.
Absolutely, and I'll try and see if I can get in touch with Sean at Ghost Stop and see what I can do for you.
Awesome. But before we go, though, before we get off the air and before we let you go, we always give our guests the microphone. So what we're going to do is I give you the microphone. If you want to give out your website information, all the websites that you have an interest in, how people can contact you, and if you want to give out any shout-outs, the microphone is all yours.
All righty. No, I appreciate you guys having me on the show. It was a great time. I look forward to coming on again sometime soon. If anybody's looking to get in touch with us, they can get in touch with the Northern Paranormal Research Society. They can go to our website at northernparanormal.org. Or if they'd like to join the investigation, they can get that with us at jointheinvestigation.net. They can come on and do an investigation with us anytime they want to. And look forward to speaking to anybody real soon. And hey, Chris and Haley, if you're listening, here we are. We're going to make it.
And don't forget about your join the investigation so they can come stay with you.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Jointheinvestigation.net.
Yep. That was it.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you, Jeff, spending an hour with us, and I'll send you a message when the podcast's up with the link with it up.
Awesome.
It should probably be up within the next, I would say, half hour, 45 minutes. Just depends on how fast it wants to load. Sometimes it can go quick. Sometimes it can be a pain in the butt.
Sounds good.
But, yeah, we really appreciate it, and we'll be in touch with you definitely.
All right, I appreciate you having me on. Have a good night, guys.
You too. Hopefully you got your paranormal radio experience by coming on the PIR radio.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Have a good one.
You too now. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Bill, another Monday, another PIR episode.
It's awesome.
You know what's funny is that we always get when we get on the we get on the telephone on Skype before the show and we're like, oh, we're tired. But you know what? I think the show goes so much better that we're both tired.
Yeah, keeps it moving.
It does. I mean, it seems like we have some great shows. You know, it's like I get home from driving the bus all afternoon and. It's like, bam, I got to eat dinner in 10 minutes, and then the PIR radio, I'm like, yeah.
Hey, Kurt, do you get a gas card with the bus, or do they fill it up for you?
We fill it up on the lot.
Oh, shoot. Because I was going to say, that would make traveling across the country much more easier. Yeah, their gas card.
They keep those under lock and key.
Oh, well, we'll have to find another ploy. I was thinking about looking on eBay for an RV. They cost a lot.
I know. But, hey, for all our podcast listeners out there, the first podcast listener to email me at Kurt at PAR Radio with their address, I'll send them a goodie, and I'll post the winner on the forum. It don't matter if the first one, if you listen to it within an hour of the show being posted, you win. First podcast listener emails me their address, they win a PAR Radio DVD of the first 100 episodes.
Awesome.
But,
fancy label on it, too.
You know who we have next week?
I don't.
You don't know?
Lori?
No, it's part four of our series with...
Oh, no.
From our fellow Canadian from... I think he's from Nashua. I'm probably wrong, but he's from he's from Canada, and we're going through, I think we're going to be in, 2004 with his UFO encounters.
That's awesome. And he was actually one of our answers to one of our questions.
Yep, this will be the part four. It's an amazing interview, and for him to come on, and discuss his story. I just applaud him. I mean, I know it takes courage because a lot of people who experience what he's experienced stay shuttered for a long time and don't want to talk about it.
Well, I always love his interviews, and it seems to get a lot of response from the podcast listeners, too, that email you. And, yeah, I agree, because a lot of people listen to this, and some probably know him.
I can't wait, we've had, the last time he was on, we were getting to some really interesting, the snake-like flying creatures. That was interesting. That kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. But, to actually see something like that, oh, my God.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Kurt, I can't say enough, but thank you, and hopefully we get some cases moving for Tri-County Paranormal.
Yeah, if you're in the Philly area, that area within 100 miles or so, contact Bill at PIRradio.com if you need an investigation.
Yep. And if you want that DVD, don't forget.
First podcast listener out there who emails me their address will win a copy of the PIR Radio DVD first 100 episodes.
Awesome.
So, you got any shout-outs before we go, Bill?
No, that's it. To all my lack of attention to case management cases, I will call you soon.
Awesome. And this is to all the case managers out there. Don't be slackers like Bill. Oh, and Bill, hopefully Jeff got his paranormal radio experience with PAR Radio tonight.
Until next week, keep it paranormal.
Good night, folks.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio.
Hey.
Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRN Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Pitt State Paranormal Radio Network and www.hauntedchain.com.